S-R-A.
I plan to go to law school after I graduated, but looks like my folks won't have enough money to put me through college.
Well, the world needs ditch diggers, too.
Mother, the meatloaf! Fuck!
It's not a tumor. It's not a tumor.
You ever danced with the devil in the pale moonlight?
I am not Mr. Lebowski. You're Mr. Lebowski. I'm the dude.
That guy in a little coat.
Who told you can eat my cookies?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
You're in big trouble, though, pal. I eat pieces of shit like you for breakfast.
You eat pieces of shit for breakfast?
No.
That's what I love about these high school girls, man. I get older, they stay the same age.
Hello? Hello? Anybody home? Hey, think with fly fish.
You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Welcome to episode 45 of Cinema Crespediso. I am your host, Christopher Crespo. And with me, as always, is my co-host, Drew Cogburn. Drew, how's it going?
It's going, sir. What's up with you this week?
Doing pretty good. Hanging out, not doing much. You know, I'm on my second Chimay of the day.
It rhymed.
It rhymed. I'm a Cresp poet.
You are.
I'm the Cresp poet laureate of the subtropics.
Cresp poetry in motion.
It was the finest Cresp poetry in motion. I was figuring we better get this episode in the books before I become a slurring...
Drunken idiot. Sweet.
I was going to put it that harshly.
I calls him like I see him, bro.
Ouch. That's Drewster Cogburn, the brutal one. Drewster, you're Dr. Drew's two cents.
Yes, sir.
Got some good downloads there. People responded
awesome.
Pretty well to it.
Thank you very much, people, for listening to me ramble on for almost 2 hours.
Yeah, that was a long time.
I ramble.
And then when it was all done...
The next one, I'm going to make sure it's not so long.
Yeah, you say that. I say that, too. I always try to keep it short. This show is supposed to be an hour long.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Out of 45 episodes, I think it's been an hour about 3 times.
6, maybe?
Maybe. Somewhere between 3 and 6. So we're not very good at that. Very good at time management. So thanks for checking us out. And if you stick around to the very end, hey, we appreciate it.
Yeah.
Right? That's cool of y'all. So let's just get this show on the road. Every week we start out with the Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. So Drew, you got the Crespo Diesel Randomizer 9000. Here we go.
Hey, look, the Randomizer 9000 is getting kind of empty here, Chris.
Is it?
We're running out of, compared to where it used to be, yeah.
Well, I guess we're going to have to... They did add some stuff recently to the Netflix, so...
Yes, they did.
But since they added things, that means they probably took stuff away.
Off.
So yep. While you're doing your verification there, I'll remind people to go to chriscrespo.com. That is chriscrespo.com. Go there for past Netflix Instant Picks of the Week. Most of them are still up there, so you can see what I recommend if you need something to watch. Instead of wasting your time flipping through all the crap, just...
I've wasted so much time flipping through crap.
Everyone's wasted that time, so I'm trying to help you all out. Save some time. Watch better movies. Here we go. Drew, do we got a nod, a thumbs up?
This week's Netflix Instant Pick of the Week is Holy Motors.
Oh, snap.
Something I have yet to see.
I've been trying to get you to watch
this. I know you have.
I've been trying.
Everyone almost tells me to watch this. Apparently, this movie's right up my alley.
Almost given up on trying to get you to watch this movie. But, yeah, Holy Motors is a great French film. What's the description that they would give you on Netflix? Because I went into really knowing almost nothing,
yeah,
and
it
blew
says,
me away. It
says, this surreal drama from France follows DL, who becomes many different individuals living very different lives over a 24-hour period, switching effortlessly from man to woman, impoverished to affluent, young to old, and even assassin to family man.
Interesting. Yeah, I guess it still doesn't totally give away exactly what the movie's about. It's a weird one. It's a crazy one.
That's what everybody says.
But, it's really well made. It's really good. I saw this one at the Enzion.
Yes.
Which was pretty
you fantastic. You and Mr. Johnston.
Yes, I believe so. Yeah. So, definitely recommend Holy Rotors. That's a great pick. Great, great pick. Almost makes me want to rewatch it again myself.
Well, I mean, we're going to have to because I need to see it.
You haven't seen it. We're going to have to make you watch it. We have to sit you down now and be like, dude.
One of these days I'll get around to it. I'm out of video games right now, so.
Video game.
I just beat Assassin's Creed 4, so I'm done.
Dr. Drew's Two Cents. You're done. This isn't Dr. Drew's Two Cents.
For the time being.
For the time being. You have something. I'm sure. Anyway. All right. Holy Motors. Great. People, just watch it.
Check it out.
It's great. It's weird. It's fantastic. It's definitely weird. Memorable.
I like weird. Weird's good.
Fantastic movie. Here we go. So, Drew, what is the box office? That's actually, what do you got? What do you got for the... You want to start with the movie that we saw?
Yeah. We're going to start at number 13 this week with All Is Lost. Had a weekend gross of $979,000. Total gross of $4.28 million on a budget of...
I found $9 million, a $9 million budget.
All right. That makes about... I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know...
It's a very small contained movie.
Low budget film.
Yeah.
Screen count there, you got something for that?
483.
Is that up or down?
That's up 84 screens.
All right, so they're still adding screens to it. Because it's bouncing around town here pretty weirdly. It played at one theater for a week, and now it's playing at two different theaters this week. It's weird. I don't know what their release strategy is based on that. But we managed to see it. All Is Lost. Robert Redford stuck on a boat.
Yep.
For an hour and a half.
Yes, sir.
In the middle of the Indian Ocean.
By himself.
By himself.
And he doesn't say anything for most of the movie.
He has...
like four lines?
Maybe like three scenes where he speaks.
No.
And one scene, all he says is fuck.
Correct.
Sometimes he comes close to saying like shit. He's like, shh. He's like, shh.
You can, I don't know. You can see the frustration on his face with his situation.
So yeah, the whole movie just starts with him. He gets a hole in his boat.
I mean, it's pretty much just imagine like you're on a boat.
You're on a boat.
Imagine what can go wrong, and it just happens one after another after another after another. Small victories, ravishing defeats.
Two steps forward, three steps back.
Oh, sometimes four or five.
Pretty brutal.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy. Redford's great.
Oh, he's awesome.
Dude's like 73?
You can tell.
Something
and
like that.
And they kind of played on that, too.
Yeah.
He was getting tired a lot.
Obviously. Yeah. Anyone would get tired. There's doing a lot of work on that boat and climbing that mast. Look at Robert Redford getting up there.
I know, right?
Good for him. He's an old dude.
He is.
So it was a good movie. It was good.
Yeah. It was worth watching.
Would you say for people it's worth checking out in theaters, like to look for it, or is
I don't know
just
about
wait
that.
For like
might as well just wait for DVD. It's kind of it can be slow at times. Like the first hour of the first hour of the movie felt like 2 hours by itself.
It can be slow,
and I think that's just because of the silence.
There's a lot of silence. Yeah, just and then just him like, oh, let's watch him tie a knot.
Silence and tension.
All right, now
that knot, that is one important fucking knot, bro.
There's a lot of important knots. Like, let's watch him pull yellow bags out of compartments, and then we'll eventually find out what's in the yellow bag.
Eventually.
Most of them usually very conveniently labeled.
Yes.
It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, big red letters.
We want a bunch of stuff like that around here. We should have survival kits and stuff here, like under the table.
Because
we just pull out just in case. Just in case.
Just in case.
For survival.
Well, just in case there's a flood, we need a giant... safety raft underneath the table.
Speaking of flood, did you see the Noah trailer?
Oh yes, I did, sir.
Pretty interesting little trailer, huh?
Interesting, epic is what I would call it. It looks absolutely insane.
Darren Aronofsky's Noah,
yeah,
from the director of Black Swan. It said from the director of Black Swan,
yes,
but it looked more like from the director of The Fountain.
You know, it really did, especially with how epic and pretty everything was.
Yeah.
It's like all when like all the animals were rushing towards the ark. It was like, whoa!
All the CG animals. Every animal in this movie is going to be CG. And
well, of course,
it's like $120 million budget, I think, something like that.
So awesome!
Pretty excited for it.
I am super excited.
He's been wanting to make this movie for a long time.
It's
apparently
so awesome. The flood is coming, Chris.
Russell Crowe as Noah.
Yeah. And
and then there's a scene where like take the ark, and then they start charging at it like Lord of the Rings. Stuff.
No, exactly.
Like, what the
oh
heck?
Man, I can't wait. There's going to be some sort of weird, strange, epic battle.
Yeah, based on trying to take the ark.
And it's pretty much just going to be a bunch of people versus the flood. And I'm pretty sure the flood's going to win.
Versus God, really.
Yeah.
pretty strange. Bad. So that's a different water-based movie, Noah, coming out sometime next year.
No, man.
So All Is Lost. You say DVD. I say if it's close by, if it's near you in a theater, check it out. If you gotta like trek over like a couple of towns over or something, you might as well just wait for the DVD.
Yeah, we had to go two towns over.
Sometimes you gotta go two towns over. Sometimes you got things over there.
Ridiculous.
All right, so let's get into the top five. What was that number again? Oh,
was that was number 13.
Number 13. Woo! 13. All right, so what's
all right, well, number
five?
Number five this week, we have Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa. Had all a weekend gross of $7.6 million, total of 90.2 on a budget of 15.
That's a lot of money.
That's a moneymaker.
That's a moneymaker. It's going to make $100 million easy at this point, and good for them. Can they make a sequel?
I mean, they can.
They're
going to
be looking for this, for this character.
I'm not sure if it's going to be as popular.
Or, I mean,
never are.
Could they even pull it off, though, is what I'm saying.
Maybe like, with Johnny Knoxville as like an old woman.
You'd have, like to change your grandpa. Bad grandpa.
You would have to. Well, I mean, you could still do a bad grandpa, but it would have to be he couldn't be even the same getup because so many people have seen the movie, they would recognize that grandpa per se.
They could do Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa: colon Bad Grandma.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what's number four.
Number four this week, Freebirds. Had a weekend gross of $8.3 million. Total gross of 42.2, budget of 55.
Struggling to even just trying to make its money back. This movie about turkeys and Thanksgiving and who cares.
Yep, well, that's what CBS gets for trying to get into the animated world.
Guys, man, on relatively media. Yeah, guys.
Well, relatively,
both of them,
my bad.
Both of them together. It's like, what the hell, guys? It's ridiculous. It's, what are you thinking? This isn't... Pixar makes it look easy.
Disney makes it look easy. People think that, you know, cartoons is quote-unquote child's play, and it's totally not.
DreamWorks.
Yeah.
They can't all be DreamWorks.
No.
No, a lot of them are this. A lot of crap like this. Sorry, Birds. Birds movie. Screw you guys. Moving on. Here we go.
Number three this week, Las Vegas. Had a weekend gross of $8.8 million. Total gross of 46.9. Budget of 28.
Another movie about a bunch of turkeys.
Yep, but they made the money.
These turkeys are making a little bit of
these
money.
These old turkeys are making some money.
Well, it's lower budget, $28 million, which makes sense. And the older market, the older crowds, they don't go out to see it opening weekend, but they'll see it 3-4 weeks later. They'll eventually get out there, get on their...
I mean, hell...
There in the villages, they'll eventually get on their golf cart and drive over to the theater.
I mean, it's been in theaters for 3 weeks. It got, 155 theaters added it this week, so...
Yeah, they're adding theaters, $8.8 million in its third week. I mean, hey, that's about expected for a movie like that. I'm definitely waiting for an HBO type of viewing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Not spending any money on that.
They really want to spend too much money on it. All right, here we go. What's next?
Number two this week, Best Man Holiday.
The one new release for the weekend.
Had a weekend gross of $30.5 million. Same as the total. Budget of 17.
So that's pretty good.
Making some money.
Making its money. That's why they made it. That's why they made it. So I'm going to expect maybe a third one.
Probably.
Down the road, who knows?
And is it going to be another decade before they make it?
not with, I don't know. I think this one's doing better than the first one. So.
Is it?
Yeah, they may be like, all right, maybe we'll make some more of these. We'll see.
I'm not looking forward to those previews.
Well, yeah, like you're going to see the previews, so they don't advertise these movies that hard, you know?
No, I'm talking about like at theaters.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, in theaters.
I mean, I've been seeing these Best Man Holiday things for...
I've seen it a couple times. Forever. Two or three times, have you? Maybe you've just noticed some more than I have.
Me.
The Best Man Holiday. It's the holiday. Terrence Howard.
I get it.
He's like with two chicks.
Uh huh. Christmas.
And there's a dude.
He's willing to receive and give.
What's that? That's right. That's what he says. You did see the trailer.
Terrible.
All right. Well, let's move on.
All right. Number one this week, Thor: The Dark World. Weekend gross of $38.45 million. Total gross of $146.9. Budget of $170.
Not the, you know, just another comic book movie.
Nope.
Not the best in the world.
No, but I mean it is. You know, it is what it is. It's action packed. It's fantasy slash sci-fi slash whatever the F Thor is these days.
And it made $332 million internationally, so it's at $479 million worldwide. That's crazy.
Good for Thor.
That's a lot of money. So it's going to make like $600-700 million worldwide.
I can't wait to see what happens when Chris Hemsworth cuts his hair.
Yeah, one day he's going to have to.
What's going to happen?
He's going to have to.
He's going to lose all his
Thor
powers.
He had short hair in Cabin in the Woods.
The only movie he's ever had short hair in.
No, he also had short hair in...
At least that I've seen.
Red Dawn.
Never saw Red Dawn.
Good. Keep that up.
I will.
Keep up the fight. The struggle is real, Drew.
I know it is, and I will not watch that movie.
So, Thor costs a lot of money, but it's making a lot of money. Marvel,
so there you go.
Disney, it's part of the machine.
Yep.
Yep.
You got to spend money to make it, bro.
I guess so. It's all just leading up to Guardians of the Galaxy and Avengers.
Which is all just leading
Infinity.
Up to the Infinity Gauntlet. I mean, at the end of the Thor, that little thing at the end, it's just like, hey, this is where we're going.
Yep. Yeah. The little stinger. The mid-credits, that's what they call it, the mid-credits stinger. You know, apparently at the end credits, there's another one.
Oh, really?
There's another thing.
Did we miss it?
Yeah, that we skipped out on.
Uh-oh.
I think it was just like Thor and...
Natalie Portman making out?
Yeah, something like that.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Just what I've always wanted to see.
He's like, I thou dost miss you.
Because that's how Asgardians kiss.
he is mouth
open.
Big Ovish idiot. That Thor.
Yep.
Thor. All right. So, new movies coming on DVD. A lot of movies coming out on DVD. Like, whoa.
Like, whoa?
Like, holy cow.
Like, unholy cow?
Like, it's almost as if it's the holiday season.
Hey, guess what, Chris?
What?
It is the holiday season.
Whoa! Crazy. On DVD, we have Disney's Planes. Right, well, it's for the kids. The World's End.
Pretty funny.
Yeah, I like The World's End. I think it's good. Definitely look for that one on Redbox, people, because it didn't make that much money in theaters. A lot of you didn't go see it.
Well, a lot of those movies probably make their money on DVD anyway. Stoners
so.
Are lazy.
I hope so. Go see it, you bunch of twats. Where the Millers comes out on DVD. So
we can finally get to watch
what the fuss is all about with that goddamn movie making so much money and looking like a hunk of crap. Two Guns, the thoroughly mediocre Denzel, Mark Wahlberg, shoot him up.
I like the masks they wore.
You wore masks. Definitely more than two guns in that movie.
Oh, yeah. Far more than two.
Paranoia, that Harrison Ford, Gary Oldman,
with the other Hemsworth
movie that everyone just shat on for being completely forgettable.
Oh, man, I can't wait to see how forgettable it was.
And finally, the to-do list. It's an Aubrey Plaza movie.
She wants to get laid and do all these terrible things.
So she comes up with a list, nerd style.
Of slutty stuff to do.
So that, a lot of stuff on DVD.
Yeah.
There you go. Go enjoy the crap, people. Except for The World's End. That's really good. All right. So what's coming out in theaters, Drew?
In theaters this weekend for November 22nd.
Yes.
We have The Hunger Games Catching Fire.
The Hungering Games.
Yes.
All right.
With
I think, Drew.
What do you think? I mean, I saw the first one, but I don't necessarily remember a crap about it.
I think.
All I remember is it being a Battle Royale ripoff.
Word. I think this is going to be a big deal.
You think?
There you go.
I have a feeling it might
be. I have spoken.
Crespo Damas hath spoken. I think it's going to be a big one.
The Hungering Games Catching Fires.
Holy 146 minutes.
Ugh.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Seriously, 2.5 hours?
I think it's 3 books, and the next one they're turning into 2 movies. Of course they are.
Of course. Harry Potter scheme.
The worst thing that could have happened.
We're going to take the last movie and just make it in 2 parts. Boo. To make even more money.
The worst. Just the worst. Makes me mad. But worry about that when we get there. Francis Lawrence, director of I Am Legend, Constantine.
Good movie.
And Water for Elephants.
Never saw it.
I think he did. No, I think that's it. So, yeah, we'll see how this one turns out.
I mean, the previews look okay.
Looks all right. I think it looks a little better than the first one.
Yeah.
The guy who directed the first one, he's not much of a director.
Well, and it looks like maybe they got a little bit more money for this one. Like, oh, you already made us a shit ton of money, so here's some of it back to make the next movie.
And I think the budget went up like $40, $50 million from 70 to 120.
Exactly. And yeah. It looks like it.
Yeah, for sure. And it'll make even more money internationally and stuff this summer around. So, yeah, it's all, they know what they're doing.
Yep.
What else is coming out?
Delivery Man. Vince Vaughn is that dude from... What was the original?
Starbucks,
yes.
Yeah.
That was the original, and then now Vince Vaughn has remade it as Delivery Man.
Well, they actually got the writer-director of Starbucks to remake his own movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's doing his own remake.
So it was an independent movie that he did by himself, and now he's doing the same movie again with a bigger budget and a studio. That's weird.
As a display of the bigger budget, the Starbuck, the Canadian version of the movie, it's like 144 something kids. And in this one, it's like 500 something kids. So,
you know, oh, man, yeah, bigger, up the ante.
Bigger budget.
Yeah.
So there you go. Any interest? I don't see.
Nah, maybe when it comes out on DVD. Yeah. I'm not really the biggest fan of Vince Vaughn most of the time.
Oh, yeah.
He hasn't been good since. What was the first movie?
Well, Wedding Crashers. That was the last time I enjoyed him in a movie.
Well, yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a long time, dude.
Exactly.
Sorry, Vince. Sorry, Vinny Vaughn.
He's just not funny.
Vinny Vaughn.
Right. And he always needs to play off of somebody. Like, he can't just do it by himself. He's not that funny by himself.
And this one, he has to play off a bunch of, what did they give him, Chris Pratt?
Did they?
Yeah, he's in the trailers.
Oh, yeah, and Kobe Smulders and Jack Rayner, whoever the fuck those people are.
Whoever the fuck you people are, how dare your names be spoken on our show? Tricking Drew into thinking you're someone when you're not.
Hey, Charlton Copley is an old boy.
So, that's right, he is. Oh. That old boy has an interesting cast.
It does.
It has a very interesting cast.
I'm just going down through for what's going on next week.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, we'll talk about what's coming out next week. Next week.
No, we'll talk about what's coming out the week after next week.
But first, we need to get a Crespo Disco break. Because I'm almost done with the second Chimay.
Need to get a third. And then we need to finish before you get drunk.
And I'm off the Reds. So I gotta get the yellows.
No more reds, bro.
Off the reds. So time for some yellows and greens. Crespo Disco break. You know what we got, Drew?
What do we got?
In honor of the Noah trailer. Because it's awesome that Darren Aronofsky's finally getting to play that big budget sandbox that he's been wanting to do long. He's been making low budget movies for like 15 years now.
I mean, how much did it cost the Fountain to make? How much was it? Was that
like 20, 30? It was like $30 million.
God damn, that is pretty as hell for $30 million.
And that was his biggest budget film. Yeah. The people that he hired to do the micro photography and stuff, that cost him like six figures.
Really?
Yeah. Some of the special effects. Yeah. And it looks amazing.
Well, it looks like space.
Yeah.
But
it's incredible, right? But it's actually zoomed in really tiny. So, yeah, this is his first chance to like get to play with so much money. And so... In honor of that, I grabbed something off the movie that enabled that to happen, which is Black Swan.
Yeah.
Because Black Swan cost them like...
The Wrestler for Girls.
The Wrestler for Girls cost them like something like $16 million to make, and it grossed over $100 million here and like $300 million worldwide.
Yeah.
So he was like, woohoo! And he got all this money. He's like, I want to make Noah! And they're like, all right.
You know, whatever you say, bro.
Yeah, all right, here we go. It looks like we're making Darren Aronofsky's Noah again, which the trailer looks like a parody movie, man. More and more these days, I'm seeing trailers, and they look like trailers that should be sandwiched between Robert Rodriguez and Quentin Tarantino films.
Yeah.
You know, it's like these look like fake movies.
It's like, this is never going to happen, and then it comes out, it's like, wait,
like,
what?
Like, this is a spoof film. No one really made Darren Aronofsky.
Nobody gave him $150 million to make this movie.
But here it is. So I grabbed a song off the Black Swan soundtrack, and we're only doing one song because it's kind of long, but it's kind of epic.
Sweet.
It's called Night of Terror.
Yeah.
And it's a song for when she goes out to the nightclub and things get all crazy and stuff. It's a crazy song. So Night of Terror by Clint Mansell, who I'm sure he did the Noah soundtrack. Looking forward to hearing that.
More than likely.
And after that, so after this little break, we'll be back with the second half of episode 45 of Cinema Crespo Disco.
Welcome to the Crespo Show.
Welcome to the second half of episode 45 of Cinema Crespo D. So, it's me, Christopher Crespo. How's it going, guys? Thanks for downloading. Appreciate it. With me, as always, the co-host, Drewster Cogburn. Drew.
What up?
Holding it down. How's it going, dude?
Holding it up. Sometimes I'm holding it up, too.
How was that break? You enjoy that break?
The break was awesome.
All right.
I enjoyed having myself a cinnamon bun.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And how was that?
It was delicious.
Cream cheese topping.
Oh, dude, that cream cheese icing that Publix does is sugary enough to give you diabetes.
If Publix or diabetes awareness groups want to sponsor our show, feel free to send us an email at cinemacrespo@gmail.com with sponsor in the subject line. Or any business, as a matter of fact. How about that? How about that plug? Speaking of plugs, chriscrespo.com. Check it out for reviews. Back episodes of Cinema Crespo, so Netflix and Zipix of the week. Things like that. Links to the Instagram and the Twitter, like Instagram.com/CinemaCrespo, so Facebook.com/CinemaCrespo, so Twitter.com/Crespo. And I am on Twitter at I am Chris Crespo, and Drew. Is that?
And Terra419.
All right. Oh, there we go. Just prodding you, like poking you with a stick. Here we go. Are you already falling into that diabetic coma from that cream cheese topping you right there?
No, I'm just doing I'm doing some research online, checking out some stuff.
Oh, good. All right. Excellent. I'm on my third Chimay, so things are going to devolve very quickly into a slobbering mess.
Blah, blah, blah.
So let's jump right into some movie news. Have you heard anything at all, Drew, about this Tom Cruise Afghanistan thing, and then
nope.
The Mark Wahlberg. This is kind of a fun story here.
Yeah.
First, to start things, Drew, what is your opinion of TMZ? What you really want?
I mean, I guess they serve a purpose of sorts.
What purpose would that be?
To make sure that celebrities' dirty laundry is aired out publicly.
Okay. Well, that is their function.
Yeah, so they do.
People love it. Veracity, not exactly their thing, their strong suit. They put out, they published something online recently with the headline, Tom Cruise, my job's as hard as fighting in Afghanistan.
Excuse me?
So what happened is Tom Cruise is in the middle of this libel lawsuit where he is suing a magazine, a foreign magazine, that said he abandoned his daughter, Suri.
Okay.
So he's suing them for $50 million.
Okay.
So he just had to do this deposition, and now parts of the deposition are getting leaked out there, some of his quotes about some of the things that he's saying. One of the things he said he talked about, because he was asked to talk about it, he said how some of the training he's done for movies is like Olympic sports athletic training and stuff like that, and people are like, what? He's saying it's acting's like being an Olympian. So here we go. TMZ puts out that... Tom Cruise not only thinks he trains harder than Olympic athletes, he believes his job as a professional actor is as grueling as fighting the war in Afghanistan. This according to legal docs obtained by TMZ. As we reported, Cruise recently sat for a deposition in a $50 million suit against a publisher, blah, blah, blah. First, the Middle East. And this is the only thing I'm going to read, because it's the only one that matters. Tom says his location shoots are just like serving a tour in Afghanistan. Quote, that's what it feels like. And certainly on this last movie, it was brutal. It was brutal. So, according to TMZ, Tom Cruise says... You're making a crazy face, Drew. What do you think of it so far?
I'm sitting here going, what the hell is he smoking?
And Tom Cruise is not known for... I mean, his viewpoints aren't known for being the popular ones, right?
Correct.
A few days later... There's, you know that movie Lone Survivor?
Yeah.
About the guys, and I think they're in Afghanistan, and Mark Wahlberg is one of the producers, and he's in it. They had a red carpet premiere, and then a Q&A after the movie. And then here's another article. This one is from somewhere else, I forget where. Mark Wahlberg blasts Hollywood privilege at Lone Survivor premiere. Quote, I'm sorry for losing my shit. Here we go. Check this out. At the premiere of Lone Survivor at the AFI Fest Thursday, the veteran actor and producer shocked the audience with his candor about his role in Lone Survivor. Let's just get to the quote, because this is some great stuff. All right, here it goes. This is Mark Wahlberg, right after watching this movie. For actors to sit there and talk about, oh, I went to SEAL training, I don't give a fuck what you did. You don't do what these guys did. For somebody to sit there and say my job was as difficult as being in the military, how fucking dare you while you're sitting in a makeup chair for 2 hours, Wahlberg said. He continued. I don't give a shit if you get your ass busted. You gotta go home at the end of the day. You gotta go to your hotel room. You gotta order your fucking chicken. What the fuck it is? People talk about what do we do to bond the way that those guys bonded. We just knew what they did. It didn't matter. I didn't have to say a word to Emil Hirsch or a word to Taylor Kitsch, Ben Foster, who's my brother, even though he's the kind of actor who wants to continuously debate the debate and everything else. And I love him for it. He's going off on a tangent here. I gave him half my salary or whatever I gave him to do it because I knew how great he was for us to be on that mountain together. And in the end, I just look at him. It would break my heart knowing that that's my brother. I would never see him again. But it just seems like so much more than that. I've done the movies where I talk about, God, I trained for 4.5 years and I was a fighter, and fuck all that. It really means nothing. I love Marcus Luttrell. I think that's the guy who's the Lone Survivor is based on, the actual Marine dude.
Yeah.
I love Marcus for what he's done. I'm a very lucky guy to do what I do, and I'm proud to have been a part of it. But it's just so much bigger than what I do. I love Peter Berg for what he did and how committed he was. I would never let one of us forget about what was important in the course of making the movie, and whether it was Marcus or the other SEAL guys. If they saw something that didn't ring true, I don't care if it was going to be the biggest stunt sequence in the movie, they would cut, call bullshit, grab all of us by the fucking neck, and say, no, do it this way, and do it right, and make it real. If we don't do it, that's a problem. I was really proud to be a part of that. Wahlberg finished by saying, quote, I'm sorry for losing my shit. Don't ask any more questions tonight. So he went insane. And this was right after the Tom Cruise headline. Right. He also says... Peter Berg tries to get him to, like, relax. And then Wahlberg goes, no, just getting fucking started. I'm going to find my fucking second win. And I'm going to celebrate this fucking movie. But don't ask me any more questions. Right around that same time... TMZ updated their article about Tom Cruise. And this was at the behest of Tom Cruise's lawyer, Burt Fields, who said that the notion that Tom compares his acting to fighting a war is a distortion, pointing to a section of the deposition, not part that was publicly released, in which Tom is asked, all right, here's the actual question. Do you believe the situations... being in a movie and fighting a war in Afghanistan or a sign? Tom replies, oh, come on. Field says that clearly means, of course not. For the record, here's Tom's quote responding to the opposing lawyer in a deposition. Lawyer, now your counsel has publicly equated your absence from Surrey for these extended periods of time as being analogous to someone fighting in Afghanistan. Are you aware of that? Cruise says, I didn't hear the Afghanistan, but that's what it feels like, and certainly on this last movie, it was brutal, it was brutal. So the question was, what was it like to be apart from your daughter for so long? And is it like any way now just so Afghanistan? And Tom Cruise is like, well, I don't know about Afghanistan, but yeah, it was brutal being apart from my daughter for that. So that TMZ turns that into Tom Cruise, my job's as hard as fighting in Afghanistan. Which leads to Mark Wahlberg losing his shit. Losing his complete fucking mind at the premiere for his movie. So finally someone catches up to Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
All right, it's a saga, bro. This is like multiple stories. This is crazy. This is a HuffPo article. Mark Wahlberg wasn't talking about Tom Cruise. All right. After a screening of the film Lone Survivor, blah, 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 everything that we just talked about. On Wednesday, blah, 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 blah. Here we go. Stopped by TMZ on Wednesday, Wahlberg was asked if his comments were made at the expense of Cruise. Here we go, Mark Wahlberg. I didn't know that it was Tom Cruise who had said that. Somebody had just mentioned that people were comparing acting and being in the military. I love Tom Cruise. He's a great actor. I have the utmost respect for Tom Cruise, but I have the utmost respect for military guys. It's just unfair for anybody to comment on that. So that still sounds like he still doesn't know what the quote is or the context of the quote. Mark Wahlberg isn't exactly known for being the brightest bulb.
Yeah.
In the room. Very hard worker. But, I mean, what the fuck, dude? Relax, Mark. Relax, Marky Mark.
Chill out, dude.
Chill out, Funky Bunch. His Funky Bunches are in bunches. And it's got them all riled up. And, you know, that's some bullshit, dude. The TMZ, the shitstorm that they start. And they know what they're doing. Like, let's just take this out of context and have an inflammatory headline, and that'll get the clicks. And, you know, I mean, what do you think about that, Drew? Come on.
I mean, I don't know. I think it's crazy that Mark and Mark lost his shit over this. I don't know. I think it's all kind of silly.
Yeah.
I mean, Tom Cruise, I mean, I'm sure it is, hard being away from his daughter, blah, blah, blah. But it's nothing compared to being at war,
I bet he was even talking about most recently when Katie Holmes left him.
Yeah.
He was working on a movie in Iceland. He was on location out there. Mm-hmm. I think it was, was it a Mission Impossible? I don't know. But he was over in Iceland for a while. I mean, it's not like he can just go home on the weekend.
Yeah.
And see his daughter, you know. He's on a lot of movies like that where he's on location. These companies spend millions of dollars to whisk him around the world. So, I mean, I don't know. It's just crazy how his shit got the story like that. Here we go. Juicy Cogburn versus the world. Juicy Cogburn versus the world. Juicy Cogburn versus the world. Alright, Drew. We did have a guest. Guest had to cancel at the last minute due to some family stuff. We hope to have him rescheduled soon.
Yes.
So here you go, Drew. It's a sparring round. I'm looking forward to this one. This is one of my favorites. It's a return. It's an oldie but a goodie. It's a little bit of Steve Chucker, Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, nice.
Have you seen the commercial of Van Damme doing the epic split?
Yes.
On the trucks?
Yes.
It's pretty awesome.
Have you seen the weird commercial with Van Damme and his maracas doing... What the hell is that commercial?
Yeah, that was like a GoDaddy commercial.
Yeah, it was a GoDaddy commercial.
That's old news, man.
GoDaddy.
Yeah, that was a good commercial, but that's old news compared to this one because there's no CG, apparently. It's a straight-up just ballsy stunt. So anyway, in honor of that awesome commercial and Jean-Claude Van Damme still getting his name out there and still trying to be culturally relevant at the age of 53, Steve Chucker Van Damme. I give you the name of the movie. You tell me, is it a Steven Seagal film, a Chuck Norris film, or a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie? You ready, Drew?
Uh-huh.
Here we go. Number one, Pistol Whipped.
Chuck Norris.
Ooh, Steven Seagal.
Oh.
Number two, Top Dog.
Van Damme.
Chuck Norris.
No!
Number three, Dragon Eyes.
Van Damme.
That is correct.
Yes.
Number four, Shadow Man.
Seagal.
That is correct. Number five, Hero and the Terror.
Chuck Norris.
That is correct. Number six, The Shepherd, : Border Patrol.
Steven Seagal.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
No.
Number seven, A Force of One.
Chuck Norris.
That's correct. Number eight, Today You Die.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Steven Seagal.
Arr.
Number nine, Derailed.
Van Damme.
Correct. And number 10, Clementine.
Chuck Norris.
Steven Seagal. So let's see. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 out of 5. Need your own tiebreaker. Closest. Let's see, you can't go over. See if you can get this without going over. Because the tiebreaker would have been, how much did Bloodsport make in the U.S. box office?
$56 million.
$11.8 million, man. Ooh, almost no money.
I suck.
Even for 1986, that's practically no money. I think that's when I came out, 1986. Well, there you go. That was a little bit of a sparring round. We're done with the Tom Cruise, Mark Wahlberg thing, right? I mean, TMZ, those guys suck. Be careful what you read out there, people, before you make snap judgments. Do a little bit of digging, a little bit of verification, right? Once you get the full quote, all of a sudden it's not so abhorrent, is it?
No.
You know, but people just love to jump on Mr. Cruz.
Yeah.
Kevin Smith has seen Ben Affleck's Batman suit and says it's fantastic.
Weird.
Blah, 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 blah. Director and pal of Ben Affleck, Kevin Smith, says Zack Snyder has shown him the new costume and that it will be totally different from anything that's come before in the Bat movies. Here's the actual quote from Kevin Smith. I saw the costume. More than that, I saw him, Ben Affleck, in the costume. I don't want to give anything away because that is up to them and stuff, but I am going to say this. I instantly bear-hugged him. You have not seen this costume in film before, because every other movie has done this matrixy black armor thing. There wasn't a single nipple on this freaking suit, man.
Awesome.
I think everyone is going to be like, holy shit, we haven't been down this path before. Even the hardest core freak this movie person will be like, all right, I'm ready. So Kevin Smith is excited about the new
Batman.
Well,
I just like the fact that there's no nipples on it.
At the least. I don't think there are any nipples in the Nolan ones.
No, there aren't. But
those are nipple-free. We already got away from that a long time ago. But I guess he's saying less battle armor, so what? More of a cloth approach or a leather type thing? What's going on?
What do you think, Patrick? Have you seen...
You're the comic guy.
I forget where I saw it. Like a couple years ago, I was just looking up, you know, Halloween costumes, ideas, this, that, the other. And I saw these motorcycle suits. Like, I guess, I don't know what they're made out of. I don't know if it's like polyurethane and leather or what. But it looks like the stuff the guys wear in the movies.
Yeah.
But it looks a little more flexible.
Okay.
But they had both a Batman one and a Captain America one at the time, because it was just when the first Captain America movie came out.
Were they like extra expensive or something?
Yeah, no, they were custom made to tailored fit you. They were like $700.
Interesting.
But
maybe they just went there.
Dude, $800? Seriously? That's pretty cheap if you're making a movie.
Well, we'll see. We'll get to see the suit soon enough for ourselves. And then we'll go look back and see whether Kevin Smith is right. Blockbuster's final film rental is... You want to take a guess what the last movie was rented at Blockbuster ever? Go down in history as being the last
one? Sure. What is it, Chris?
You want to guess?
My Little Pony.
Oh, close. But this is the end.
Really?
Really.
That's kind of funny.
This is from The Guardian. The last film hired from the about to become, I guess they say instead of rented, they say hired, they hire out stuff, because it's The Guardian. The last film hired from the about to become defunct video and DVD rental chain Blockbuster turned out fittingly enough to be the Seth Rogen apocalypse comedy, This Is the End. According to a tweet from Blockbuster's official account, its Hawaii store made the rental at 11 p.m. on the 9th of November, shortly before the close of their last day of business. Staff took a photo with the unnamed customer holding the DVD and posted it alongside the tweet. So, irony. Irony, thy name is Blockbuster closing. So there you go. What do you think? What do you think of that, Drew?
I think it's funny. It's kind of appropriate. I mean, this is the end, and it was the last one that was ever done. It's quite appropriate.
And now they're selling everything off. So if there's a Blockbuster near you still open, run in there because they're selling all their shit.
Get some DVDs. We should get one of the old Blockbuster signs.
Yeah, I guess everything must go, huh?
Everything.
Let's find us a Blockbuster.
You know.
And go rate them. What the heck was that?
That was my soda bottle popping.
Man.
Soda bottle pop.
Alright, so that's movie news. On Twitter, like I said, I am on Twitter at I am Chris Crespo. I was doing a little bit of market research.
A little bit.
I was asking people what are their favorite holiday films. Drew.
Yes.
If I were to ask you,
uh-huh.
I'm going to take your vote now.
Okay.
What would be your pretty much your top three holiday movies that you would watch? Where'd that come to mind?
Gremlins.
Gremlins, okay.
Die Hard.
All right.
trying to think what else I watch around Christmas time. Or even the holiday season.
Yeah, holiday season, whatever you would think about it.
No, I'm not sure if I have that. Most probably like The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Probably watch that.
All right, my three. Now, here's my vote. I'm the last one to vote. And then I'm going to announce the results here on the show. You ready?
Uh-huh.
All right, so here we go. My top three would be Die Hard.
Die Hard's awesome.
Love Die Hard.
I'm glad we're in accordance with that.
A Christmas Story. I watch that every year. I really do. Can't think of a year when I haven't watched it at least once. And I would say National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. But that would be recently usurped by Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Ooh, that's a good one.
So, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. So there we go. So after asking a whole bunch of people and getting a lot of results and writing all this stuff down and keeping track, here we go. The number one. What do you think the number one Christmas movie is for everyone involved?
So what?
You think what will be the number one movie? What do you think? With the most votes?
Probably like Christmas Carol or one of those old school movies, I would say.
You know, no one sent a Christmas Carol. Someone did say The Muppets Christmas Carol.
Okay.
So we got one vote for that. But no, with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 votes. Christmas Story. Number one, followed by you got a tie for 8 votes each. Die Hard and National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Nice.
So your top three are pretty much Christmas Story, Die Hard, and National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Scrooge got 2, 4, 6, 7 votes. Scrooge is really good. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang got 4. Nightmare Before Christmas got 4. Bad Santa got 5. Elf got 5. Gremlins got 3. I love Gremlins. Home Alone got 3. Santa Claus, the Tim Allen one, the first one, I got 2. As did Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. And It's a Wonderful Life. So that's the only like old-timey one that's on here. It's a Wonderful Life got 2. And I think it's a good movie. It holds up. And did I say Kiss Kiss Bang Bang had 4? Did I say that?
Yeah.
Kiss Kiss Bang Bang had 4. And then with 1 vote each, kind of an eclectic mix of movies here. Love Actually. Ghost in the Shell. Is there Christmas in the Ghost in the Shell? Is someone just fucking with me there? Any idea, Drew?
I don't know about that.
Addams Family. The House of Yes. It's a holiday-ish. Thanksgiving. No? Did you see that one, Drew?
No.
8 Crazy Nights. Eastern Promises. Is there Christmas in Eastern Promises?
Maybe?
Jingle All the Way. The Grinch. The Jim Carrey one, specifically. Batman Returns. Right? That is a Christmas movie. While You Were Sleeping. I never saw that one. You ever seen While You Were Sleeping?
Nope.
Nope. There's a Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Metropolitan. I haven't seen that. You see that one here?
Nope.
The Charlie Brown Christmas gets 1 vote there.
Nice.
Someone threw that one out there. Good for them. Muppets Christmas Carol, you already said. Black Christmas. I'm assuming they're talking about the original Black Christmas and not the recent one. But who knows? Maybe they're talking about the recent one. The horror film. Dutch. The one where Al Bundy has to take the kid, Ethan Embry, for home for the holidays.
Oh, I remember Dutch.
The road movie.
Yeah.
Lethal Weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, what happened here was Billy D, New York City show correspondent, Third Chimay people, New York City show correspondent Billy D on Twitter at I Love Blood. Check him out; he's a good guy, despite the name, just the evil seeming name. He actually voted the entire Shane Black collection because everything he's written takes place during Christmas. So that's 1 for Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, and then Lethal Weapon, Iron Man 3, and The Long Kiss Goodnight.
Nice.
So he cheated and found a way to vault multiple movies in there into one slot. Good for you, Billy. That's why you're on the Crespediso payroll. Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me. Was there Christmas in there? I can't remember any Christmas in Austin Powers. Do you remember?
No.
The Spy Who Shagged Me. What's that? The second one?
Or
the first
yeah.
one? The second one. And finally, Smokey and the Bandit. Is there Christmas in Smokey and the Bandit?
I don't know.
Maybe these just movies these guys just like to watch during the holiday season.
Maybe.
Maybe. So there you go. That's that. Got at Matt Celery, Twitter user at Matt Celery, who's been repping the show a lot since we started. So big ups, Matt. We really appreciate it, bro. He's got a couple questions for us, Drew.
Nice.
Let me get. I want to read this question first. I just have to pull it up here. Here we go. At Matt Celery, saddest character deaths. If Mufasa isn't on the list, I have to boycott the podcast.
Ooh.
So I guess he's on the list.
Yeah.
That
no.
is a pretty sad death. Disney is known for their heart-wrenching deaths of parents in front of their children.
Yeah. Starting off with Bambi.
Bambi, there you go. That's a sad one.
Yeah.
Oof.
Mufasa, I mean, obviously. It's a sad one. I'm pretty sure when I was a kid, I probably shed a tear when that happened.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. It's yeah. sad.
Goddamn Jeremy Irons. Why be killing everybody?
Ah, Jeremy, he's so evil. Up the first 10 minutes? When first do you find out that she can't have kids and that she dies?
Saddest thing. Seriously, the first 10 minutes of Up is probably the saddest thing I've ever seen animated in my life.
There's that scene in, speaking of animated, that there's that Who Framed Roger Rabbit where the judge takes the shoes and dips the shoes in the dip and it's like, and it melts and it dies. Remember?
Yeah, yeah. That was, that was freaking Doc.
He's like, 1.21 gigawatts. I'm killing cartoons. Yeah, something like that. He was crazy.
But he was a cartoon.
But he was. Spoiler alert. 30-year-old spoiler alert. 88, 98, 2008. Man, I'm years old. Yeah, so there you go. Yeah, Mufasa, top of the list. Don't boycott Matt Celery.
Please.
Please don't. And then he asks, most anticipated movies of 2014.
When does Noah come out?
2014.
Noah.
You're just going to jump right on Noah? Because yep. I actually have here, Prince right out here, Drew.
Let me see the list.
The list of movies of 2014. I got a little copy for you and a copy for me so we can go through this together.
All right, so what the hell is the Bronx Bowl?
I think that's supposed to be a bullshit knockoff sequel or prequel of some sort to the Raging Bull.
Oh, terrible.
Yeah, exactly.
Paranormal Activity, don't care. Beyond Outrage, don't. What is?
I don't know.
Her is going to be good.
Her is going to be good. The Spike Jonze movie with Joaquin Phoenix is apparently set in a not-too-distant future of Los Angeles that's populated by only white people.
Lone Survivor looks crazy.
And Mark Wahlberg, once he fucking see it, goes, fucking military guys are fucking data guys. And you can't be comparing that to acting.
Jack Ryan Shadow Recruit is going to be garbage. What does Devils Do? The Nut Job, Ride Along. Stupid one, Ice Cube, don't care about that.
I'm going to see that one, though.
I Frankenstein's gonna be garbage, probably.
Yeah, probably.
What's Give Me Shelter?
No, definitely. I don't know.
Labor Day, that awkward moment.
Bunch of garbage. That's January, February.
The Lunchbox.
Garbage.
Hercules, The Legend Begins. The Lego Movie looks good.
The Lego Movie does look good. I'm interested in the Lego
Monuments Men. I'm looking forward to that.
Looking forward to both of those movies.
Back in the Day.
I don't know about that.
RoboCop. I mean, I'm gonna see it, but I'm not necessarily looking forward to
it.
Yeah,
it's gonna be a hunk of shit.
Vampire Academy,
nope.
Endless Love,
nope.
Winter's Tale.
Oh, that's Valentine's Day weekend.
About Last Night, 3 Days to Kill, Girl on a Bicycle.
Sounds bad.
That stupid Pompeii movie.
Looks horrible.
Almanac, The Wind Rises, Son of God, interesting.
Yeah, well, it looks bad.
Nonstop, The Wind Rises.
So February looks like a piece of shit.
300 Rise of an Empire is going to be garbage.
Yep, that's in March.
Mr. Peabody and Sherman. Actually, I'm going to watch that for the nostalgia factor.
That looks cute.
I used to watch the hell out of some Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Yeah, but Peabody's cool.
I
don't know about this Jodorowsky's Dune. I don't know what that's all about. I got to look that up.
Is that like Dune again?
Yeah, but...
Like more Dune?
But by Alejandro Jodorowsky. He was supposed to do the original one before David Lynch did it, so I don't know what this is.
So it's... Oh, whoa. You know, I'm going to have to watch it.
Holy Mountain, Alejandro Jodorowsky.
Yeah.
People should check that guy.
Interesting. The Grand Budapest Hotel.
That's Wes Anderson.
Okay, word. I'll watch that. Need for Speed.
Yeah, based on a video game with Aaron Paul from Breaking Bad.
Addicted.
Don't know.
Walk of Shame.
Don't know.
Divergent.
Some horrible-looking teen lit sort of action movie type
Muppets
thing.
Most Wanted.
So it's a Muppets movie. That's cool.
That's cool. Into the Storm.
Don't know.
Stretch.
Don't know.
Bad Words.
Don't know.
Noah.
Noah comes out at the end of March.
A Haunted House 2. Don't care.
No, thank you. What else we got? April.
Repentance.
Nope.
Small Time.
Nope.
Captain America the Winter Soldier. That looks good.
That looks interesting. It's got our boy Oz Lost, Robert Redford.
Yep. Island of Lemurs.
Nope.
Madagascar.
No, thank you.
Saw that Cesar Chavez.
Cesar Chavez, an American hero.
Yep. I'll that preview
it.
Today.
I'll see that.
Dom Hemingway. Rio 2, Don't Care. The Quiet One. Sabotage. St. Vincent.
Nope.
Frankie and Alice.
Nope.
Heaven is for Real.
Nope.
Transcendence.
Transcendence is Wally Feister. P-F-I. I don't know. That's a crazy last name. He's the director of photography for Christopher Nolan, has been for years, and Transcendence is his first directorial film.
Ooh.
And it's some sort of science fiction film called Transcendence.
Sounds interesting.
So that does sound interesting. So I'm going to put a mark next to there.
Bears?
Nope.
The Other Woman.
Nah.
Echo.
All right, so we're getting into May. Now, May is always the start of the summer blockbuster.
Yep, with Amazing
season.
Spider-Man 2. Which
starting off
have
with
to
that.
Check that out.
Gonna have to.
Belle.
We got Jamie Foxx as Electro. Don't know what Belle
Tyler
is.
Tyler Perry's Single Moms Club.
Cannot wait.
Chef?
No, thank you.
I don't know. What is Chef?
Who knows?
I'm a cook. I want to know.
Oh, well, we'll find out. We'll look into it.
Legends of Oz. Dorothy's Return.
Yeah, what the hell is that?
Neighbors.
Oh, Neighbors is that. Do you remember that commercial? Seth Rogen.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
Zac Efron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That actually looks kind of fun. And
yeah,
the younger Franco.
The young Franco. The David Franco.
Godzilla looks... Looks like we're going back to the original.
Yeah, they are.
Minus man in a suit, though.
It's an updated, but, you know, we're supposed to be a remake of the original Gojira. So yeah. We'll see. I am a little interested in that one.
A Million Dollar Arm.
Don't know what that is.
X-Men Days of Future Past.
Interested
could
in
be
that.
Great, could be terrible.
We'll see.
Yep.
Yeah.
Blended.
Don't know.
Maleficent.
That's Angelina Jolie is the witch from Sleeping Beauty, I think.
Interesting. Yep. A Million Ways to Die in the West.
I don't know what that is. Oh, you know, is that A Million Ways to Die in the West? That might be the Seth MacFarlane movie. Plus, he did a live-action movie.
Weird.
That's a comedy western.
Interesting.
So it could be awful.
Party Central.
But I am interested in that. Don't know what Party Central is.
Edge of Tomorrow.
All right, now we're in June. Edge of Tomorrow. Don't know what that is.
The Fault in Our Stars.
Don't know what that is either.
22 Jump Street. That should be funny.
Could be, yeah. I'm looking forward to that one.
How to Train Your Dragon 2. Don't care.
All right.
Think Like a Man 2. Don't care.
Steve Harvey movie.
Jersey Boys.
No, thank you. That's a musical.
Transformers 4.
With Mark Wahlberg, who's like fucking military guys.
Yep. Now,
I just respect military guys. I respect Tom Cruise, and he's great. I have much respect for his career, but
that's
I respect military guys,
you
too.
You have a crappy Boston accent, Chris. In July 2014.
I'm just trying to do Mark Wahlberg.
Beware the Night.
I'm already doing a Boston accent.
Looks terrible.
Just more of a
Tammy
fucking
terrible.
Annoying Mark Wahlberg.
Fast and Furious 7,
he
word.
He just needs to take the panties out of his butt.
Oh, looking forward to Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, you know what? I heard Fast and Furious 7 has Tony Jaa.
Word.
Yeah.
And the Transporter.
And the Transporter, yes, that should be really good. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Planes, Fire and Rescue.
Don't care
no,
about
thank
that.
You.
Another Hercules.
Yeah, the first one is the one directed by the guy who did Cliffhanger. The second one is the one directed by Brett Ratner and starring The Rock.
Ooh, that's one I want to see.
Yes, even though it's directed by The Rock.
I know. Jupiter Ascending.
That's a Wachowski movie.
Ooh,
yes,
interesting.
A Wachowski sci-fi film.
Magic in the Moonlight.
Don't know what that is.
Hero.
So now we're in August.
The Hero of Color City.
Don't know what that is.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, it looks interesting.
Sex Tape.
Don't know what that is.
Get On Up.
Nah, I don't know.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
See, now I heard they weren't going to be... I heard they were just going to be Ninja Turtles.
Interesting.
Not Teenage Mutant, because they're from outer space or something.
Word. The 100-Foot Journey.
Don't know what that is.
Expendables Trace.
Of course.
The Giver.
Don't know what that.
Sin City,
yep.
A Dame to Kill For, looking forward to that.
Finally.
Jezebel,
don't know.
The Loft,
don't know.
September, No Good Deed,
nope.
Search Party,
nope.
Resident Evil 6, Don't Care,
yeah.
Maze Runner, Dolphin Tale 2,
oh
this,
my
maybe
God.
This time it is Two Tails, When the Game Stands Tall,
ugh.
There's going to be some equalizing going on in The Equalizer,
the
there's
box
a
trolls.
Box of Trolls, and Somebody is Selfless. Then we get
keep
into October.
Going.
We
oh,
have
man.
The Vatican tapes, maybe. Gone Girl.
Okay, Gone Girl, finally. That's the next David Fincher movie, based on some sort
ooh.
Of book.
Like Fincher.
Yep.
Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. It's for kids.
Yep.
The Judge.
Not a Judge sequel.
With the Interview.
The Judge, the Interview.
Dracula Untold. The Book of Life.
And
The Best of Me.
No, thank you.
Paranormal Activity 5.
See, now I have to go see Paranormal Activity 5 because I only see odd-numbered Paranormal Activity
movies. I haven't
movies.
Seen any of them.
Well, then you should keep that up because that's way better than what
business
I
Trip.
I don't know what that is.
Interstellar.
All right, Interstellar is Christopher Nolan's sci-fi movie.
I love all these people in their sci-fi movies.
Yep.
Big Hero 6.
Don't know what that is.
Fury.
Don't know.
The Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part 1.
The Hungering Games, Part 1. See?
Yeah,
part one.
They're splitting it again.
Fuck that.
Assholes. McFarland?
Don't know.
Home, Horrible Bosses 2. Ugh.
Yeah, it's a comedy sequel. So.
Exodus? Is it about the Exodus?
I hope so.
The Hobbit, There and Back Again.
Of course.
Annie, Night at the Museum 3,
Annie,
Into the Woods, and Unbroken.
Don't know what those last two are. Annie is obviously, you know, the remake
of
Tomorrow.
Annie. Tomorrow, it's only a day away.
So, true of all those movies, what is your most anticipated film of 2014?
I think I'm still gonna, man, it's either, I don't know, I've got like a three-way tie going. Well, maybe a four, I don't know. Five. I mean, no, I want to see the new Aronofsky. Noah. All
right.
The new Christopher Nolan sounds fantastic. Days of Future Past. I want to see how bad they're going to fuck it up. what else we got here? I mean, I'm really looking forward to the new Sin City. That's always just that's just eye candy. It just happens to have a great story going along with it.
Right on.
Yeah.
So you got a couple comic book movies in there, Noah.
And I guess to be announced in 2014. We forgot about those.
Yeah, I see. I don't know. Are these coming out? Some of them
they
are.
They might be.
All right, what's coming
the
out?
The Amityville Horror, The Lost Tapes, Don't Care, Passengers, Don't Know, Pixels, Don't Know Anything. The Toxic Avenger could be fun.
That could be interesting.
Dumb and Dumber 2 could be fun.
Could be.
The Legend of Conan, not a Woman in Black, Angels of Death, Don't Care. Splinter Cell movie could be fun depending on what's going on.
Yeah, they actually make it.
Dirty Dancing. I don't know what Max Steel is, but it's an awesome name. Nymphomaniacs, probably about people fucking.
It's a Lars von Trier hardcore porn film.
Yep. Poltergeist. Pinocchio. Ooh, really? Is that Disney trying to do itself up again?
Probably.
Step Up 5. Awful.
Uh-huh.
The Art of the Steel. What, is that a remake of Heat? Somebody trying to remake Heat?
I don't know what that is. So many movies have been called Heat by now.
This is Where I Leave You, Big Bad Wolf, Super Fast.
So that's it. That's all the TBA movies.
Don't know where any of that stuff is.
So none of those would jump ahead of the ones you already chose.
No.
So I would be most, of all these movies, I am most looking forward to, like, if I could only see one of them in a theater, I would probably, it would have to be. It's a tough one. It would either be the Wachowski movie, Jupiter Ascending, or the Nolan movie, Interstellar.
The Wachowski movie both sound. Yeah, that sounds awesome, too.
And they're both sci-fi movies. And then piggybacking on that question, at Rage Against Twit, wanted to know what your most anticipated original movie of 2014 was. I actually ended up, because I forgot about those movies. Nolan, I think those aren't based on anything.
Yeah, so there we go. Sounds like those.
And then you said, you also said the Nolan one, too.
Yeah.
Because Noah's obviously based on the Bible. The Holy Bible.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I mean, Jodorowsky's Dune looks interesting.
I got it.
Dune's
look at
a weird
that's
movie.
No way. There's no way that's a movie. That's a spoof or something. Someone clicked on an Onion article or something and added that to the list because there's no way that's real.
If it is, good Lord, Chris, get ready for it.
If that is, that kind of jumps to the top of the list of movies I want to see in 2014. Because Jodorowsky is like, is he even still alive?
Who knows? Maybe his ghost made Dune from the grave.
I think he is alive, but oh, man. All right, and at Rage Against Twit also asked, what's up with Netflix and all Hulu?
What do you mean by that?
He didn't elaborate.
Maybe it's the interface, because that Netflix did just recently change their Xbox Live interface on the app.
Maybe it's because they do a lot of television now.
Yeah, or that could be it too. Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of looking through it, like TV drama, TV comedy.
It's all TV.
Yeah,
there's a lot
of TV stuff on there.
Because that's what the people are watching. So if the people are going to watch the TV, they're obviously going to be like, well, look at all this other great TV stuff we have.
Yeah.
You know, and all the movie users are getting left in the dust.
Well, it's just some good. They just added a bunch of good movies that I want to watch.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to add some of those to the bag. Some good stuff there. Some good stuff. So yeah, they are, but you know, they're trying to make money. What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? They provide a service, and they're just trying to make that money. So. Well, that brings us to the end of the show. I have a lightning round. I came up with all these questions.
Why don't you take the lightning round this time?
Oh, my own questions?
Yeah.
But I already wrote the questions.
That's awesome. Now you can answer the questions.
So I should kind of know the answers, though.
Awesome. So it'll be even quicker. It'll be the fastest lightning round ever.
All right.
So, Chris.
Wait, you got to start the clock.
And go. What is your favorite cartoon character?
Droopy Dog.
Really? It's kind of a weird one.
It's always my favorite.
Where does the word news come from?
See, north, east, west, south. That's where that's where it came from.
Okay.
Apparently. I just read that recently.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Can you name all the planets in our solar system?
Oh, can I? Vemshnup. That's
Mercury. I can't believe
Venus.
Just go, go,
Mercury,
go.
Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Mvem. Mars, Schnupp, Saturn, Neptune, Uranus, and then Pluto is not a planet anymore. Is that all of them?
Yes. No. Where did you learn that little
thing from? Saved by the Bell.
Oh, that's how I know it too. It's so ridiculous. I can't believe you said that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it is. Dustin Diamond, so funny.
Yeah.
Is acting in a movie like doing a tour of duty in Afghanistan?
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
Or so you think?
Yeah. I haven't experienced in either, so yes.
What's the best concert you've ever been to?
What is it? It's Pantera at Hard Rock Live 2001 Reinventing the Steel Tour.
Because
it was epic.
Grizzly Bear or Grizzly Adams?
Grizzly Adams.
Really?
I don't know.
I would totally pick Grizzly Bear.
Okay.
Would you rather jump out of a plane with a parachute or swim across the Atlantic Ocean?
Plane without a parachute.
So would I.
Yeah.
Swimming the Atlantic Ocean sounds terrible.
That sounds
especially
impossible.
After watching All Is Lost.
Yeah, that sounds horrible, right?
Yeah.
People have survived falling out of planes without parachutes. So I have like a something in percent chance. I have a horrible chance, but still got a chance.
Name three rides at Disney World.
You got the Carousel of Tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
And which is right next to Space Mountain.
No.
And then there's Splash Mountain. All right.
I thought Space Mountain was an Epcot.
No, that's at the Tomorrowland section of Magic Kingdom, for sure.
Do you like eggnog?
Love it.
Do you have a recipe for it?
I do. That's not on there. Yes, I do.
I just wanted to make sure that you loved it.
I love it enough to have a recipe. Yes, yeah. I do. Yeah, yeah.
Think of a number between 1 and 10.
Got it.
What's that number?
No, you got to guess. That was a Crespo Damas section.
I know what the number is.
So now you're reverse Crespo Damas.
So what's the number, Chris? What number am I thinking of?
What number are you thinking of?
Yeah.
I thought it was number was I thinking of. What number are you thinking of?
Yeah.
Oh, you're thinking of 7.
Wrong.
Damn it.
6.
That's the number
you
I was thinking
close,
of.
Though.
I was close.
6.
I was so confused.
Yeah.
Got it reversed when you took the questions out of my hand like that. Mario, there you go. That was
a lightning round with Chris Crespo, everybody.
You stole that lightning.
Yep, had to.
That was stolen lightning.
It was. I had to steal it. Because when I found out that Big Mike wasn't going to be here, I was like, Chris is going to give me the freaking lightning round again. Screw that. I'm turning around on him this time.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you were not that big of a fan of the lightning round.
It's not that I'm not a big fan of it. It's just I'm sure people are sick of getting inside of my head. Let's get inside of yours.
Oh, my head. It's... I guess the stack was in my favor because I came up with the questions. Well, that was weird. Weird way to end the show. But hey, look at that. An hour and 15 minutes. Still not an hour.
Nope.
And
will be.
The first section of the show is even really short, too.
Nice.
We'll never get it to an hour. So there you go. That's episode 45. That's, what, 7 episodes away from 1 year.
Yeah.
That's going to be crazy. If you're still listening, hey, come out to... Elixir.
Yes.
What
this Wednesday.
Wednesday. What's the date?
The 20th, I believe.
20th at 7 p.m. Yep. For the SBK Live Friendsgiving. Bring a friend.
Bring some canned goods or some monetary goods. Donation.
Or just bring money. You can just straight up bring money because they give the money to the Second
Harvest Food Bank.
And apparently they make that money stretch way more than we can.
Yeah.
But I'm showing up with a bag full of cans.
Yes, we are.
So there we go, guys. Show up there. Say hi to us. Hang out.
We'll be there.
We'll be there. Drink some beers. We'll have stickers to give out. A couple of stickers.
We have left.
The last of our stickers will be there for giving out. So come get them. Come hang out. The Elixir Barroom, downtown Orlando, on the 20th Wednesday.
7 p.m.
So, you know what I got to do, Drew?
What do you got to do?
Might as well. This is obviously something I might as well just talk about on the show. Because it has nothing to do with anything.
Awesome.
And at the end of the show, anyway, not that many people are really listening.
Exactly.
And whoever is listening by this point, they've zoned out. They're in the middle of their actual work or their homework or whatever. Or
they're only half listening.
We're just droning in the background. They hear the music more. Listen to that music.
I know. It's good.
So Wednesday night,
yes,
is the Elixir.
Uh-huh.
So I got to work all day.
Yeah.
Got my day job.
Uh-huh.
Then I'm just going to come home, change, do my thing, and head back out to the Elixir where you'll already be.
I will already be there.
You'll already be there with the t-shirts and stuff for selling
what
for the show.
What time do I have to be there? Do you know?
I get there at like...
I mean, Kevin said he was going to text me, but then, you know, he came over and then...
But then you never know. So, yeah. If I were you, I'd get there like 5:30,
okay.
6-ish,
word.
Something like that. So I'm going to be there. And we'll end up being there. It's like 10 o'clock, 10:30, 11 o'clock. So I'm like, who knows how late we'll be there. We end up being there super late. You never know.
Not me. I got work in the morning.
Here's my thing. I got work the next day. Also next day, got a kind of a Thanksgiving potluck thing that we're doing.
Uh-huh.
So I signed up to make some of my famous stuffing.
I'll
make some delicious, you know, beef and bacon stuffing. That's people just love that shit.
Yeah.
So I need to make the stuffing. When do I make it? Do I make it late after the Elixir event, the Friendsgiving on Wednesday night? Or do I try to get up early and then do it Thursday morning before work? Oh, cooking in the morning.
I mean, I can wake you up when I leave for work.
No, I mean, I can wake myself up. But...
It's one or the other. It's either you're going to have to wake up or you do it like a day beforehand.
How long does stuffing hold for?
Maybe 2 days.
See, I want it to be like next day good at the most, not 2 days, like maybe good.
Well, looks like you were doing some late night stuffing cooking. I mean, you can do some prep work beforehand, you know, like get it all.
Prep work and stuffing, what am I going to do?
I don't know. Well, you said beef and bacon. You can get your bacon already cooked off, so you just put it together and throw it in the oven. And then take it out. Really, not that much work. You can do that drunk.
Which will probably be the case.
Exactly.
Because it'll be after the Elixir event.
Yep.
All right, well, I guess that solves that dilemma.
Yeah, there you go.
Thanks, Drew.
Uh-huh.
Appreciate it. So there you go. Episode 45 is over. Thank you, Drew Cogburn.
Very welcome, sir.
Make sure you rate and review us on iTunes, or if you're listening to us on Stitcher, tell your other Stitcher friends to check us out, but add us to your favorite list. And or if you're listening through aircheck.us, keep listening. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. ChrisCrespo.com.
ChrisCrespo.com.